How thankful we are, our Father in Heaven, for this Sabbath day. As my brother has said, we have been greatly blessed to be together with you and with each other. We're thankful for the ministries that are represented here as part of OCI, and for the much broader movement that you have called us to, preparing our world for the soon coming of Jesus. Thank you for the sweet spirit of Jesus in our midst. And I pray now that as I share from the word of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of our hearts. May we be encouraged with the great gift that you have given to us. Amen. I bless your name and thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I still remember the day that I met Yasmin Sultana. She's just a petite lady. She was 31 years old when I met her. That was 2.5 years ago. I knew something was different about her, because as she came walking down the hallway in Bloemfontein, South Africa, she was literally shining. I was a bit startled by her appearance, and it wasn't just the setting sun reflecting on Frank's face over there. The text that flashed into my mind was in Acts chapter 6. Do you know the story? And it says they looked at the face of Stephen, the deacon, and his face was shining like the face of an angel. That was the text that came to my mind as I saw this young woman walking down the hallway towards me, and I thought, I need to meet her. I need to know why she is so radiant. And so I did. I walked up to her. I introduced myself. She said, my name is Yasmin. And I didn't want to be impolite and say, why is your face shining? But that was the question on my heart. She shared with me that she was born in the city of Kolkata, India, and grew up in an Orthodox Muslim family. And I thought, I need to know what happened to her, that she has come to know the Savior and her face is shining with a holy light. So I asked her, I said, Yasmin, could we meet later today? We made a plan to meet at supper. I brought my laptop with me. I have a recording. It's on the laptop I used this morning. I have a testimony. It would not have been something I could have imagined, but I heard it that night with my own ears. She grew up in Kolkata. Her parents had a business. They were relatively successful. For some reason that she only can now ascribe to providence, Sydney, you talked about the providence of God early in your life, she can only say the providence of God, that her Muslim parents would send her to a Christian day school. It was not a school where she learned about the Bible. It was called St. Augustine's Day School. They said the Lord's Prayer every day, and they had a play once a year about Jesus. But that was all she knew about Christianity. But she attended that school. But everything would change when she was 16 years old. She had been taught to pray her Arabic prayers 5 times a day. She was told you don't need to understand what they're saying. She spoke Bengali. But you pray them in Arabic. You just need to pray them. You don't need to understand what they're saying. And she was also led with a teacher through the reading of the Quran, starting when she was 8 years old. She would stop and say, what does this mean? What does that mean? And the teacher would say, you don't need to understand what it means. You just need to read through it. So there is this longing in her heart for more. When she was 16 years old, She finished some of her high school studies, and they had several weeks of holiday before she would continue her studies before going to university. And she and some of her friends decided that they would go shopping in the city of Kolkata. Now, she had never been outside of the city before. In fact, she was even escorted from her home to school and back home in the evening. So she was a fairly reserved young woman, 16 years old. But this day, she and her friends were walking along on Park Road in Kolkata, India. And she saw a sign on a building with her friends. It said revival. Now, she had no idea what revival meant. But underneath, it said free lunch. And she turned to her friends and they said, you know, we could save our lunch money if we went to this meeting. And then we could watch a movie this afternoon. So they did. They went into the road there, the building there on Park Road. And the man was talking about ancient history. And she said, I really didn't understand what he was saying. But then they had the free lunch. He began to open the scriptures. Now, she believed that these were sacred writings. And she even believed that Jesus was a prophet, but not the last and greatest prophet, and certainly not the Son of God. But the teacher, he began to show her from the Bible prophecies that had been fulfilled in every detail. How Babylon would be destroyed and never be rebuilt. And how Tyre would be demolished, and it was fulfilled according to the prophecy. And she became interested. Well, when the lunch was over, her friends turned and said, let's go now, let's go shopping. But Yasmin said, no, I think I'm going to stay and listen to the teacher. And so they all left, but she stayed. She was a good student. She was taking notes, actually, listening to the teacher. And she stayed all afternoon. And at the end of the afternoon session, she was walking out of that place. There were about 100 people there. And as she was walking out, someone greeted her in the lobby and said, thanks for coming. See you tomorrow. And she said, tomorrow? I thought it was today. Oh, no, they said, it's all week. Well, Yasmin went home. She went to sleep. She woke up the next morning. Her friends contacted her and said, shall we go shopping again today? She said, I think I want to go back to the meeting. Oh, they said, you just want more free food. She said, well, the food was okay. How do you describe a hunger in your soul? I'm so glad that Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen? She went back. In fact, she went all week. And the teacher talked about the Bible and talked about Jesus. And she took notes carefully. All week she listened. It wouldn't have been possible except it was this break in her studies. At the end of the week, the teacher said, we're going to have a quiz to see if you've been paying attention. Would you like to guess who got the highest score on the quiz? Yasmin. And I'm so glad what happened next. And I want to appeal to you as leaders. If you ever give something away, by the way, thank you for the CD. I will listen to it. And thank you for this beautiful book on Revelations hymns too. If you're going to give something away, give something that matters. Yes. Don't give away some little trinket. Some little prize. Give something that could change a life. Would you like to guess what the teacher gave to Yasmin? He gave her a little red Bible. By the way, the teacher was the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church there on Park Road in Kolkata. He gave her a little red Bible. She wanted to tell her parents, but the Spirit of God told her it is not the right time. She took it home, unable to share with them her joy that she had received this Bible. But she began to read it, and she read some words that changed everything. And when she shared her testimony with me, it changed me too. I have never been the same since. These were the words that she read in that little red Bible. The word of Jesus in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. She kept going back to that little red brick building on Park Road. It was actually the Adventist church. She went every Sabbath to learn more. Her parents had no idea she was going. She never lied to them. They thought she must be going for tutoring because she was doing so well in school. But she read these words that changed everything. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. But I never noticed why. I'd heard that text before. I grew up in a Christian home. In fact, I grew up in a home, and at the end of our prayer, we would say, in Jesus' name, amen. Alexia, I never thought about it. In Jesus' name, amen. I never understood the incredible gift of praying in the name of Jesus. We just said, in Jesus' name, amen. But she read and it said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the testimony that Yasmin shared with me shocked me. In fact, I had to go back to my Bible after I had heard her testimony and say, I don't think I really understood what it meant to pray in the name of Jesus. And so I went back to my Bible. I said, what does it mean? I just thought that's what Christians do. When we say our prayers, we say da, 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 in Jesus' name. But what does it mean? Well, I discovered what it doesn't mean, Sydney. I discovered to pray in the name of Jesus does not mean that we use the name of Jesus like some kind of lucky charm. You know, we just kind of say something and then, boom, in Jesus' name, boom. Some people think that's what it means. But there's a story in the book of Acts, you can read it in Acts 19, where some Jewish exorcists, they decided to try to cast out demons. They didn't know Jesus personally. They had no living connection with Jesus. But they thought they could use the name of Jesus like a lucky charm. And seven sons of the Jewish chief priest, Sceva, they thought they would try. Do you know the story? So they come. There's a man controlled by an evil spirit. So the seven sons together, finding courage, being together, even though they have no living connection with Jesus, they say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out of him. And the demon answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the scripture says that that demon-possessed man leapt on them and beat them. They ran away bleeding and naked. Seven brothers learned a lesson that day. And that is that in the name of Jesus is not just some kind of lucky charm that you use. Some kind of powerful word disconnected from a living connection with Jesus. I learned that that's not what it means to pray in Jesus' name. I learned something else. I learned that to pray in the name of Jesus does not mean that you can pray any selfish prayer, and as long as you say in Jesus' name, you'll get it. You know what James said in James 4? You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lusts. Oh, God, I've got to sell this car. Help me to sell it for more than it's worth in Jesus' name. And by the way, I want to buy another car. Help me to buy that for less than it's worth in Jesus' name. All kinds of selfish requests. And should we expect, if we say in Jesus' name at the end, that those selfish requests will be fulfilled? Is that what it means? To pray in the name of Jesus? I thought that I found out what it doesn't mean. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? And then I found this text in Matthew chapter 28. You know the text, but maybe we need to hear it again. Jesus is about to ascend. Matthew 8, 28 and verse 18. I want you to notice what Jesus says. He says to his followers, all authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven. And how much authority? All authority. And what's the next word in verse 19?
Go.
Follow me now. How do we go? We go with authority. Whose authority? Yeah. We go in the name of Jesus. How much authority is given to him? And we go in whose name? We go in Jesus' name. You see, to go in the name of Jesus and to pray in the name of Jesus means that we take our stand under his what? Under his authority. That's the only explanation when Peter and John go to the temple to pray. And a beggar says, and they say, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give you. What's the next words? In the name of Jesus. Standing under his authority. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. I love the next verse. It says, he reached out his hand. How could he be so bold to reach out his hand? Answer, he's not standing in his own authority. He's standing under the authority of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. To pray in the name of Jesus means that we take our stand under his authority. We go in Jesus' name. This Muslim girl's testimony, she's not yet a Christian, but she reads these words. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? You know, I think the early Christians didn't understand fully. Really, I think they did not understand. Startling. You can ask anything, anything in my name, and I will do it that the Father may be glorified. I think they didn't fully understand. And so the same gospel writer who recorded the words of Jesus in John 14 also writes these words. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5. This is really important. To pray in the name of Jesus not only means to pray standing under his authority, it means something else. Look with me, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. John, who wrote the gospel and recorded the words of Jesus that Yasmin read, John also wrote this, 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that is in Jesus, that if we ask anything, what does it say next in your Bible? If we ask anything what? According to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We have prayed in Jesus' name, standing under his authority, hear me now, standing under his authority and surrendered to his will. And so, you're praying for your brother, and you say, God, I'm praying that you would give your peace to my brother? Is it God's will to give peace to my brother? Absolutely it is. I don't know about his job. I don't know about the course of sickness that my friend may be going through right now. But I do know that he wants to give us peace. If my friend is under the attack of the evil one, can I ask God to send holy angels to help my friend? Can I do that in Jesus' name? Absolutely I can. And unless my friend willfully resists, the protection will be given. Why? Because I prayed in Jesus' name, standing under his authority and surrendered to his. When I'm praying in accordance with his will, we know we have the answer that we have asked, because we prayed how? In his name. Well, this young Muslim girl, she said, you know, I need to put these words to the test. If Jesus really is who he claims to be. And you know, C.S. Lewis was right. Jesus does not give us the option to accept him as a great teacher. He doesn't give us that option. I mean, he's either a madman, totally out of touch with reality, who claims to be the bread of life and the light of the world and the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can. He's either a madman. He's a deceiver who knows what he's saying isn't true, but he's trying to fool us to believe it. Or he is who he claimed to be, the Savior of the world. Yes. We can't say, well, he's a good teacher. We don't have that option. She said, is he really who he claims to be? I am going to have to put these words to the test. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So this was her first prayer in the name of Jesus. You might think, Vivian, that this is a silly prayer, though I doubt that you would come to that conclusion, because I'm so glad that Jesus meets us where we are. Right? He's not going to say, well, that wasn't a very good prayer. If she was playing games or just trying to fulfill a selfish desire, you'd say, well, no, that's not. But what if she's earnestly seeking to know from the Father if Jesus is who he claims to be? This was her prayer. Now, it's cold here, so none of you are wearing the kind of sandals that Yasmin would wear. But maybe you've worn these little leather sandals. I call them like a flip-flop sandal, you know, with the little leather between your toes. You know what I'm talking about? Well, she would wear those. And they would always seem to break. And once that little thing breaks, it falls off your foot, right? It doesn't stay. And they would always break. So she said, I'm going to pray this prayer. And this is her prayer. I have it by her own recording. She says, Lord, help my sandals not to break. In the name of Jesus. So first prayer. In the name of Jesus. You say, that's not a very good prayer. But you see, she's just checking, isn't she? Jesus, are you who you really claim to be? She had tears in her eyes when she shared that with me. She shared her first prayer. Help my sandals not to break in the name of Jesus. She said, that was 15 years ago. My sandals have never broken since. Now, I know some of you go, oh, hallelujah, never have to buy shoes again. No, no, I'm not saying you will never buy shoes. Though it is true that during the wilderness, their shoes never wore out, right? Remember that? How long was that? So I'm just telling you that God can show us that he is indeed not just a good teacher, but Jesus is who he claimed to be. The Father is glorified in the Son. This Muslim girl prays in the name of Jesus, and her sandals have never broken since. She has tears in her eyes. Now you say, well, she didn't know that right away, right? No, she didn't. The days passed, and her sandals were intact. And she said, I'm going to pray again. You want to know what her second prayer was? Maybe you say, I don't think this is a very good prayer either. She was a quiet student. She didn't comment in class, but she prayed one night, Lord. She was studying for a biology class. They were learning about meiosis and mitosis. Do you know what meiosis and mitosis? Anybody? Meiosis and mitosis? I was hoping you could explain it to me afterwards. So she studied about it. She prayed this prayer, Lord, help the teacher to ask a question tomorrow that no one can answer. That's an interesting prayer. And then have the teacher come and ask me, do you know the answer? That was her prayer. In the name of Jesus, she prayed. Amen. Next morning, she went to class. The teacher was instructing about meiosis and mitosis. He asked a question no one could answer. And no, Yasmin wasn't, anxious student. She just sat quietly as always, and the teacher walked right up to her and said, do you know the answer? She said, yes, sir, I do. And gave a perfect answer to the question. The teacher was very impressed. Yasmin was a good student. But do you think she was thinking as she walked out of class that day, I'm a good student? What was she? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, for letting me know who you are. She kept going to the church, and finally she said, I want to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. So she went to one of the elders. Any elders here? Anybody an elder of the church here? She went to the elders. She went to one of the elders. She said, I would like to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. And the elder said, oh no, you can't be baptized. You're a Muslim girl. Why, that would cause a lot of problems. You're welcome to come here to church, but you can't be baptized. How do you think she felt? Wow. I'm so glad the story didn't end there. I'm so glad for Spirit-led leaders. She went to the pastor, said, I'm going to talk to the pastor. She went to the pastor, she said, Pastor, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I want to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. And the pastor said, Yasmin, you pray for 1 week, and I will pray for 1 week. And if after 1 week, you're still completely convinced that you want to be baptized, I will baptize you. So she prayed for a week. The pastor prayed for a week. They came together again. She said, Pastor, I'm absolutely convinced I want to be baptized. He said, I will prepare you. She prepared for baptism. She wanted to invite her parents, but she knew it was not the right time. But she was baptized in that little church where she'd first come for the free lunch as a follower of Jesus. She was 18 years old now. And then the day came that her parents found out. Would you like to know how they reacted? What do you think? Her father stormed into her room, took a little red suitcase there, threw some clothes into it, closed it up, put it in her hand, and said, there is no place for an infidel in my house. Pointed to the door. The mother tried to intervene. She said, where is she going to go? And he said, my decision is made. There is no room for an infidel in my house. And Yasmin took her little suitcase and stepped out of the threshold of her home, and the door closed behind her. What would you suggest she do now? Pray. How should she pray?
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Standing on the threshold of her home, banished as an infidel, she prayed, Lord, where shall I go? In the name of Jesus. Amen. The thought came to her mind. Where should she go? Go to the church. Go to the church. What I'm going to share with you next is truly miraculous. But it should not surprise you. Because when she went to the church, Chuck, the pastor was waiting for her. Now that shouldn't surprise us, Chanyelle, because I read in Acts chapter 9 that the Lord speaks to Saul on the Damascus Road. He says, you go into the city, it will be told you what you must do and how you will suffer for my name. And then the same Lord goes and visits a man named, what was his name? Ananias. And says, I want you to go and go to this address. He gives him the GPS coordinates. You go to this street, to this man's house. There's a man there named Saul. He's my chosen servant. And Ananias said, I think you got mixed up here. This is the wrong man. No. He's my chosen servant. You go. You pray for him. You anoint. You lay your hands on him and pray for him. It shouldn't surprise us that the God who worked so powerfully in the New Testament days could work so powerfully today. And Yasmin went to the church and the pastor was waiting for her. He had an envelope in one hand with a check for 25,000 rupees. If you don't know how much that's worth, you can Google it later. 25,000 rupees, huh? It was the amount needed for her to start her studies at Spicer Memorial College on the other side of the continent, all the way from Kolkata, India, 36 hours by train to the city of Pune, India. In one hand, he had a check in an envelope. In the other hand, a train ticket. He was waiting for her. Is our God an awesome God? Yasmin, with tears in her eyes, paused her testimony. And she said, my God is so good. Is he good?
Amen.
He's so good. She said, you have to understand something. A young girl does not travel across India unaccompanied, alone. Why, she could be molested. She could be sold into slavery. She could be killed. You just don't travel across India by yourself. But this young girl, 18 years old, with her little red suitcase, with a few clothes randomly thrown in by her father, she got on that train and she traveled all the way across India for 36 hours. And she was not afraid because she prayed. She took her stand under the authority of Jesus, surrendered to his. She arrived at the train station in Pune, India at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't even like to go to train stations at 3 o'clock in the morning. There are weird people at 3 o'clock in the morning in train stations. This young girl gets off the train in Pune. And everybody scatters, going to their intended destination. She has no idea where Spicer Memorial College is. It's actually 20 kilometers away from that train station. What would you suggest she do right now? Mm-hmm. And how should she pray? Mm-hmm. She prays in the name of Jesus there on the platform. And what I'm going to share with you now should not surprise you. It happened in the Bible all the time. But a tall, slender man walked up to her and spoke to her in her mother tongue. She's Bengali. She's now on the other side of the continent in Pune. But a tall, slender man comes and speaks to her in her mother tongue and says, where are you going, my child? She said, I'm going to Spicer Memorial College. He said, I will take you. She follows him out of the train station. Have any of you here been to India? You know what an auto rickshaw is? Looks like a scooter. Used to, the old ones were a person, right? But the new ones got a scooter on the front and like a double seat on the back, you know? Well, he took her out and put her bag there on the seat, invited her to sit on his auto rickshaw, gets on the front, starts driving out into the darkness. It's now a little after 3 o'clock in the morning. She's not afraid. Drives through the darkness and finally arrives at the campus of Spicer Memorial College. She said, if he dropped me at the front gate, I would have had no idea where to go. But he drove in the campus and stopped at the front door of the girls' dormitory. Here you are, my child. She studied there for the next 7 years. She received every academic award at the school. She finished a graduate degree there at Spicer Memorial College many times. She went back to the train station at Pune looking for that tall, slender man. And he was never there. He was only there that night, Carol. At 3 o'clock in the morning, because a young girl prayed in the name of Jesus. Now, you know what I wanted to ask her, don't you? What do you think I wanted to ask her? I wanted to ask her if she thought it was an angel. That's what I wanted to ask her. And you know what I decided? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was an angel sent from the courts of heaven or a messenger from Pune that God went to at 3 o'clock in the morning, or maybe 2:45, and said, get up now, go to the train station, because my daughter just prayed in the name of Jesus. Is it any less of a miracle? Ananias was, where was he sent from? From Damascus? I don't know. I still happen to think it was an angel, and I think it's kind of cool to imagine an angel riding a scooter. I mean, it's just kind of outside of the box, you know? He was never there, just that night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wish I could share all of her story. If you'd like to hear all of her story, Naomi's going to give you a card so you can download the preaching book. If you click on contact, you can send me a note and I'll send you the rest of her story. But I'll tell you something really amazing, and with this I'll close. She'd been there for, in her second year, no word from home. And finally one day, she heard an announcement over the PA system. Now, you know, we all have our own cell phones, but this is back in the day when they didn't have their own phones and they didn't even have phones in the rooms. If you got a phone call back then, maybe it's true in the Congo today still, I don't know. But, you know, if you're on the campus and you go, Keith, please come to the administration building. You have a telephone. Do they do that anywhere still? But it was that way back there. Yasmin Sultana, come to the administration building. You have a telephone call. She thought, who knows to call me? She picked up the phone. She heard an Arabic greeting. Papa? Quiet. Papa? It was her father. He was coming to that part of India. He wanted to stop at the school. So he came to the Pune train station. She met him. He came. No words of endearment. He did bring a little package from her mother. He looked at the school, talked to the teachers. He was perhaps thinking she was wasting her life, you know, and saw how well she was doing and respected by her teachers. He wouldn't stay there on the campus. After 2 days, he left. But then there was some sporadic contact. The third year, he came back again. He said, I'm coming back to your area. Can you reserve a room for me? He stayed for 2 weeks. Friday, she was with her father. She realized he would be with her over the Sabbath. She turned to him. She said, Papa, to her Muslim father who threw her out 3 years before. Papa, would you like to come to church with me tomorrow? Quiet. Finally, he said, okay. She said, can you imagine my joy? The next day in church, my Muslim father sitting by my side. The time came for him to leave. She went with him to the station. in their culture, the way you show respect to your elder is you stoop down and you touch their shoe, and then you touch your head. Saying goodbye to her father, she reaches her hand down, and as she's on her way up, for the first time in her life, her father throws his arms around her and embraces her. Be safe, he said. Do you still believe in miracles?
Amen.
Still a Muslim. Still praying his Arabic prayers 5 times a day. Some time passes. Yasmin Sultana, you have a telephone call. Please come to the administration building. She goes. It is her mother. Yasmin, your father is sick. He wants to speak to you. Father gets on the phone. Yasmin, will you pray for me?
Amen.
She said, Papa, I pray in the name of Jesus. He said, I know. And Yasmin there, separated by a continent, prays in the name of Jesus for her father. And her father was healed. Now I know we always have to pray, not only standing under his authority, but also surrendered to his. So we always say, Father, not my will. That is not a lack of faith. That is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It is not a lack of faith to say, your will be done. But the Lord says, I'm going to show your father, that the father may be glorified in the son. I'm going to show your father to pray in the name of Jesus is to stand under his authority. The story is not over. Yasmin is a professor at Rasangu University. And some of you who know Zambia, Riverside Farm, helped start Rasangu University. She's a professor there now. Her face still shines with a holy light. Yes. Praise God for anointed Christian teachers. Amen?
Amen?
Can you imagine having her as your teacher? She loves Jesus with all of her heart. And if what you said is true, Sydney, that there are many who have not yet confessed Jesus, but the miracle has already started in their hearts, I think we're going to hear some conclusion to this story. But if you'd like to hear the rest of the story, take that little card, click on contact. And would you continue to pray for this young girl who changed the way I pray? I can't pray the same anymore. I mean, I still pray in Jesus' name, but I don't pray in Jesus' name, amen. I pray in the name of Jesus. And I just offer that as a gift to you tonight. The incredible privilege we have to pray in the name of Jesus, standing under his authority and surrendered to his will. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I thank you that even though many of us have walked with you for many years, you still teach us. Your Spirit, you promised, would lead us into all truth. We have so much more to learn. I thank you for teaching me through this young, former Muslim girl. of the great privilege, the great gift of praying in the name of Jesus, to take our stand under His authority, surrendered to His will. And Lord, I don't know what people are dealing with here, personally or in their ministries, but I pray by the anointing of Your Holy Spirit that You would give us wisdom and boldness to pray in the name of Jesus. And tonight we want to pray for Yasmin. We want to pray for the Sultana family in Kolkata. And we thank You that the miracle has only just begun. May we continue to expect You to work in supernatural ways to bring honor to the name of Jesus. And as we close this Sabbath, I just want to thank You for such a blessed day, for the songs we have sung and the testimonies we have heard and the word that we have heard that's touched our hearts. And I pray that as we go to our rest, that our strength would be renewed. I pray that the deliberations, the decisions of tomorrow would be blessed by You. And that this wonderful ministry would continue to see the showers of Your blessing until that glorious day when we see our Savior face to face, is our prayer with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.